Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is July 29th, 2024. Your go-home WWE Raw for WWE SummerSlam. I'm headed out there Thursday, as is Denise Salcedo. You can check her out over on her channel where she does a Raw watch-along that I actually appeared on. John Taylor, right out of the gate, sends a very generous super chat and says, "Love the SRS cameo on Denise's Raw watch along. Feel like I'm supporting the good ones in wrestling media. Appreciate you both." Denise, you are fresh off of a Raw watch along. How you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. I got to tell you, I do my snack in between the Raw watch along and the post show. So I get myself my little cookie and then I come on here and I'm like, all right, I'm re-energized to talk about this show and what went down, especially when you're going into a pay-per-view like SummerSlam. And this one, I was just looking back at the card for whatever reason. I hadn't looked at the entire thing for SummerSlam. And we got seven really big matches that I'm looking at going, huh, you know what? This has the potential to be an all-timer for a really great SummerSlam.
So, guys, check it out. Got lots of stuff coming this week. Interviews. Coverage. We got the Grapsity fellas, Reg and Phil, swinging by doing the post show on Saturday. What are you doing, Denise? What's she doing? What is she doing? Leave a thumbs up on this video if you want your questions or statements read on the air. Super chats and humper chats. We would greatly appreciate that. Denise,
sorry. I was all this talk about my cookie and my drink came back. And I started to choke and I was like, oh no, I need to take a second. That was karma, bro. That was karma right there. I don't know what I did, but I did something to deserve that.
Please leave a thumbs up, guys. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Due to popular demand, we have combined the Q&A and backstage report show. Every Monday, I give you guys about a half an hour of Q&A and exclusive news. Check that out on FightfulSelect.com. This weekend, we're going to have a post-show review on Select, a pre-show on Select, a scoops thread, all that good stuff. FightfulSelect.com, just $5 a month or $54 a year. We are over 6.5 years in, haven't raised the price yet. Much to Jimmy's chagrin, but we are still sitting at $5. Discord as well. I am often over there ahead of shows, dropping scoops, all kinds of cool stuff whenever I can't add them to the scoops thread. Did that tonight, mentioning that the Wyatts were going to have a match book, that the host was going to be announced tonight as well. But anyway, $5. You're good to go, guys. Big thank
you
to John Taylor.
How many flavors do you have?
What is it?
How many flavors do you have?
Flavors of what?
You mentioned you have a scoops thread. How many flavors are we talking? 31, like Baskin-Robbins or more?
Well, let's see.
let's pull open that Discord because I keep it open right here on my desktop. We have the Ask SRS, the Sour Graps, In the Weeds, AEW ROH, WWE, New Japan, and Puro, TNA, Joshi, Indies, Wrestling News, the Fightful Site News. We're about to add a Bet Online one as well. There's one for Art. There's one for NXT, the Olympics, showing collections as well. So we've got about 20
flavors. I counted 18.
There you go. Isaac says, evening, guys. Anything regarding Brian's contract with AEW? Do you think he re-signs or returns to WWE? I think that he will see his talent contract out. He will fulfill dates after that. And I think he will remain with AEW in some sort of creative capacity after a little bit of an absence. He'll probably go home for a little bit. He is well-liked behind the scenes. Fightful Select reported on Sunday, him saying that they don't want him or the doctor doesn't want him wrestling until All In is a shoot. He was not involved in some stuff that he was supposed to be involved with because they are trying to preserve him for this big moment. It is important to the company. It is important to Tony Khan and people in AEW. What are you seeing for his future, Denise?
I would hope that he does remain with AEW because I really think that the contributions that Bryan Danielson has brought, not just in ring, but behind the scenes, is something that I think AEW definitely needed. I think that Bryan is also a level-headed guy. From, you know, just stories that I hear or just from what we know of who Bryan Danielson is, whether on camera, because I think like he pretty much presents, like you can tell what kind of character Bryan Danielson is. And I think that having somebody like that with so much knowledge of the business and just a person that can talk to all types of people and get along with all types of personalities, I think that Bryan Danielson is definitely someone you would want to have backstage in those types of positions and those types of roles.
Yep, I think you're completely right. He is a part of the disciplinary committee, so he's obviously someone whose opinion is valued very, very heavily. But yeah, we'll stay on top of it. That much I assure you. Let's go ahead and talk about tonight's Raw. Seth Rollins kicks off the show with his referee instructions, and he says there really aren't any rules. Just listen to me and do whatever I say. If I decide there's going to be a 20 count, there will be. If I decide there's a 3 count, there will be. You don't touch me. You can't touch each other tonight either. And he just laid it out. Whatever he says goes. We got a little preview of his referee outfit. I told you it was going to be a little bit more than met the eye. You thought it was just going to be like a crop top or something.
No, I didn't think that. Everybody was thinking the Shawn Michaels booty shorts. I was afraid that he was going to come in with some giant curtains. That's what I was afraid of. I thought it was going to be a little bit too much. If that's what he's wearing, if he's wearing that exact same thing, I'm fine with that. It's just poofs. It's not really too much of a big deal. And the pants were fine. But, and I'm assuming he's not going to wear the sunglasses because he would actually have to move about. But
he should.
He should not. No, that would be terrible, Sean, going out there with the sunglasses. And then what if he drops them?
Why not? He can put them back on. He can have like some sort of adhesive to his head.
Okay, what if he's like counting, right? He's like, 1, 2, oh, my sunglasses fell. I got to put them back on.
He should. That'd be great.
No, I don't want that. That's exactly what I do not want in this match. And that was what I was going to say. I didn't want to see happen. When he said, oh, it's going to be my rules. If I want to count when I want to count, if it's a DQ, it's up to me. And I'll count to 20. I was like, no, I don't want any of that. I want to see as straightforward referee we can get from Seth Rollins. I don't want to see all this extra stuff. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it.
What did you think of Drew McIntyre and CM Punk's promos? Punk was like, yeah, you know what? They sing his song. They chant my name. You're the third wheel here. And a few months ago, like 5-6 months ago, Drew was the third wheel because everybody was looking forward to seeing CM Punk and Seth Rollins up until Royal Rumble. And then what happened with Drew McIntyre is I think Drew McIntyre made himself the A side of this. Like, he took CM Punk from having one real white hot program to having two in his back pocket. Like that, like I'm trying to think what would we ask CM Punk at this presser? And I'm like, man, we have seen him be off TV with injury a lot over the last couple of years. With this, we had reported on Fightful Select last week with this contract talk. they can't freeze his deal because he's still working, Denise, because his feud is one of the hottest feuds in wrestling right now.
And he's not even there.
And he's barely there. Like he's there once every 3-4 weeks and it's working really, really well. And a lot of that's because of the emotion and the stakes that Drew McIntyre has added to it. We've started a Hater of the Year award.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the Fightful Awards, the Big Boss Man Hater of the Year Award will be handed out next year, in large part to Swerve last year, Drew this year, like really, really bringing that to the forefront. I think that, you know, even though CM Punk is saying, oh, you're a third wheel, I know that's just a line in a promo, but I don't think it could be more untrue at this point.
It is 100% untrue. If we were going to pick a third wheel for anybody, it would probably be Seth Rollins here.
Right now,
it kind of feels like we're putting him in here to be part of the party, but just to give him an invite type thing. This feels like when you want to go out and your mom's like, hey, can you take your little brother too? Make sure he goes out too. And you're like, damn, I got to bring my little brother now. That's what this kind of feels like. I feel like we're making a lot of space, a lot of room for Seth Rollins here, where he really wasn't needed in this particular feud, in my opinion, because I feel like I have been so engaged, so interested in what they've been doing with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. You just said it right now. We've only been seeing CM Punk sporadically on the show. We don't even see him every week, and yet this is still the hottest feud. And not only are they nailing it on TV, they're also nailing it on social media. I feel like they've captured everybody's interest in multiple ways. The thing that I did like about this, and I thought there was a one really important line, and it was from CM Punk, where he had told Drew McIntyre that this was the best thing that ever happened to him in his career. Dude, you can kind of argue that that can be pretty true. I mean, Sean, you know about all of the contract stuff. Talk to us about where Drew McIntyre was at before CM Punk got there and where he's at now regarding like everything with like making his contract. You know, he made himself a lot more valuable.
So we had been covering Drew's contract for what, 6-7 months at that point, around WrestleMania. I was told that he was operating on the assumption that last year's Mania could be his last one. Now, that's before they extended him past Mania due to injury time. When we had reported along the way that CM Punk, not only did it not look like he was coming back, WWE was adamant up until about a week and a half before Survivor Series, he wasn't coming back. Because of how the roster was responding and because so many people, including some of the people in this program, went to them and said, we do not want him back. However, there was that productive conversation that you and I had to talk about the week before Survivor Series. But still, as of that week, Denise, talent that were asking, including Drew McIntyre, were told, no, he's not coming in. So for anybody that was like, yeah, they're working the sheets. They were working talent the last few days. Talent outright asked in the days before, and they were told, nope. Members of the writing team were told the day before, nope. And by then, they had made the decision to bring him in. So the talent were told right before seeing or right before their main event match. So in their mind, I'm sure everybody's working their own angle, right? Seth Rollins works his own angle and is, you know, coming up the ape or up the aisle, and Drew McIntyre storms to the back. And the things that I had heard at that point, Drew McIntyre was sincerely frustrated, not that CM Punk was back, but because they lied to him about it, because they were not honest, because he went and asked and they said no. And he's like, I've got a contract coming up in a few months. And this is the priority you put on me. However, Drew McIntyre is brilliant. And he understands how to create buzz. And we are talking about a guy who won the Royal Rumble, eliminated Brock Lesnar, went to WrestleMania, won the title again. And now he's got more buzz than ever before by feuding with a guy that can't wrestle on the show. So he took that and he said, you know what? I could sulk. I could be pissy. I could be a whiny baby about it. Or what I can do is make myself in a situation, the most important cog at a point in which my contract is coming up. And then say, guess what? Y'all got to pay up now. Y'all got to pay up. And that's what he did. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant of him. And Elite Biscuit says, I enjoyed that you scared off every official angle to justify Seth Zaref. Excited for this match in the dog pound. Well, I'm excited to, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not like Denise. I don't take big fat shits at venues. Oh, dropping a big one.
No, you the just blow your massive freaking nose all over everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I thought that was going a different direction. Anyway, I'm dropping the stinkiest, filthiest deuce of my life at Cleveland Brown Stadium just to honor what they put on the field. It's important. Who does Seth accidentally hit with the chair at SummerSlam like Shawn Michaels 1997? Well, I think that's the direction. I feel like they got to run this back at Hell in a Cell eventually. I wouldn't mind seeing all three of them in Hell in a Cell. I think that could make for some fun if they end up going that route. But do you think somebody gets screwed over here?
I think that they telegraphed something here. And now I'm trying to figure out how they went about it, because CM Punk got into the face of Seth Rollins and he said, I need you to promise me one thing, or one thing that I want is for you to not help me in this match. I feel like that basically told us, oh, he's going to unintentionally help out CM Punk. Fair. Or probably screw him. I don't know, but I feel like that line, once we're coming off of SummerSlam, we're going to go back and we're going to reference this line right then and there, because I feel like they telegraphed that, or they're at least trying to foreshadow something there with that particular line. And I know that line is going to come back and haunt us when we're talking about what went down at SummerSlam. And when he said it, I thought, oh, that's it. They're basically telling me right now that there are going to be some freaking shenanigans. Now, what those shenanigans are exactly, I don't know, but that line, it stuck with me. They didn't say that just for shits and giggles. There was a reason for that line. I want to figure it out.
Well, speaking of lines and shenanigans and SummerSlam, our partner BetOnline.ag, trusted for over 25 years, the earliest lines, you can bet big, the fastest payouts. Just go over there and check it out. But I'm going to talk to you guys about some of the shenanigan lines over there. Right now, Jake Paul, not favored to show up at the event. Roman Reigns is favored to show up at the event. Dominic, will he interfere in Rhea's match? And what will the weapon be? Are all things you can put money on. How many crossroads Cody Rhodes will do? How many tables will be broken during the entire PLE? As well as the individual matches. You also got stuff like, will Cody Rhodes bleed? Will Cody mention Dustin Rhodes or Dusty Rhodes? Will the Wyatts appear? How will all that go? But right now, Gunther favored to win the world title. Liv Morgan favored to retain. Nia Jax slightly favored to win the title. LA Knight favored Cody Rhodes. Drew McIntyre favored to beat Punk. If I had to put my money on somebody, that is an underdog on this show, I'd go with Punk. Braun Breaker also favored. They got like four titles favored to switch. If you think that's too much, head over to BetOnline.ag. Put that money down. Not just that, they have odds right now on John Cena's retirement year. There's one that's very interesting to me. Right now, Randy Orton is the favored opponent at WrestleMania. However, John Cena is also favored to compete for a world title at WrestleMania. I don't think those two can coexist. I don't think he's going to be facing Randy Orton for the world title at Mania. Maybe defending it along the way after he wins. So I might go put some money down on that if I were you guys. But get in those super chats. Get in those Humper chats. Creed Brothers defeated Otis and Tozawa. That was whatever it was. And Otis gets beat down afterwards. And Denise, I really think the bloom is off the rose with the Otis and Gable stuff. Like, they just, I really think that he needed to whip Chad Gable's ass when he turned on him. And now people are just like, well, all right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, in the sense that it feels like they're kind of back to square one. This doesn't feel like Otis that's reaping the benefits of having this hot angle with Chad Gable. This just feels like Otis, who he was right before he joined up and linked up with Chad Gable. It doesn't feel like there was a growth based off of the storyline coming off of it. It feels like that, I don't know, I kind of feel bad for them a little bit, because I really was expecting a little bit more of a payoff for both of them, but it doesn't really seem like it. They've taken, what, like two losses now back to back? I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, they can definitely bounce back, no big deal, but it just doesn't feel like they are the focus of this. But I mean, they're still going out, they're out there, they're entertaining. And again, like you said, the match was what it was. And everybody, here's the thing. I think everybody, instead of going like, we've moved on from this, Sean, we're no longer caring about Chad Gable and Otis. I don't feel like that's the focus anymore. Now
they have, it seems like they moved on as well. It seems like creative, like, poor Otis, he was ready to just, he was ready to explode, to be something. And they just, okay.
No, instead people were like, oh, this is the segment where we're going to get Wyatt Six. And obviously we did. But now that's the topic here when you think of Chad Gable and the Creeds and all of that. You don't know, that's it. Like, the Otis thing, it's just there now. But it's not the main thing.
Well, the Wyatt Six show up and make the save. And what we see is Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis, and Eric Rowan unmask and attack, and then they run Chad Gable out of the ring, and then he hits the bricks. I love that they unmasked him. This, the Wyatt Six integration, execution, and explanation was one of my favorite things of this show. This is the anti-retribution, Denise. This has been methodically thought out and planned. In 2020, I had to tell members of Retribution how their story was pitched, Denise. In 2020, there was a conference call, a quarterly call, and the very rare instance of one of the investors going, what the hell are you doing about ratings? And why aren't there new stars being built? And Vince goes, oh, we gotta think of something immediately. And they did Retribution. They had no clue what it was. They had some 5'3" guy waddling towards the camera with a ball bat going, you better run, all that stupid stuff. They had no clue what was going on. They accidentally fell into some great numbers for that digitally. This is the opposite. They have methodically planned this. They have the segments mapped out. And I love the execution. We're not hearing as much from Nikki or Dexter. We're seeing them. But then we go backstage and Chad Gable is talking to Adam Pearce and he goes, I figured out who these guys are. And Adam Pearce goes, I know who they are. They're under WWE contract. And Chad Gable goes, what? He goes, yeah, that's usually how it works when people are in a WWE ring. They're under contract. I'm aware. They're very, very talented. They're also signed. They can wrestle. You got a match next week. I like this. They're not playing dumb like they're invaders or something like that. They would have had the security sorted out by then. I thought that the execution of all this was very good. And what I like the most is that while I have to suspend my disbelief a little bit, it's not insulting to my intelligence as a result.
But that's kind of how it started, though, right? Because the first scene that we saw was, remember that big attack and the gorilla position, sure, and everybody there. So it did kind of start off that way, where it's like they felt like intruders. They didn't feel like people that were, yeah, signed talents. And so I guess somewhere down the line that changed. And I think that it probably changed once we saw Bo Dallas in there. Remember when he was in the room with Adam Pearce? That was probably when, I guess, things changed. I don't know. But yeah, they did at first come in like intruders. But with that being said, I feel like, man, the first thing that I want to talk about is Dexter Lumis, dude. I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
Talk, yes, about a massive makeover that was definitely needed, because I don't think we got so much of the exact same Dexter Lumis. And we all know which Lumis I'm talking about. The one where he's just staring, you know, the cold, hard serial killer look on his face. That's what he was giving us. And it got old. It was in the beginning, it was like, ooh, that's spooky, that's scary, because he just had that face. He just had the look. But it got old. And now I almost didn't recognize him. I was like, damn, we sure that's Dexter Lumis? He looks so different with the hair and the makeup. I thought that the look was really, really great. I was very happy for Joe Gacy, because I feel like Joe Gacy, he's someone that got a lot of hate on NXT because of the character work that he was doing, and it really wasn't working too well. And he was stuck in the schism for a while, but he tried to make it work. And I can really tell that Joe Gacy has a love for that type of character on the show. And it just wasn't necessarily, like, the stars weren't aligning for him there. And then it was towards the end of his time in NXT where things finally started to go uphill for him. He had that really great feud with Dijak. I really enjoyed what they did there. Like, once he started being lost, it kind of worked for him. He ended up finding himself here with this group. But I was happy for him. I was happy for him to be in Wyatt 6, because I feel like this is the perfect spot for him, where he's not out there having to preach or do anything weird, but instead he's adding to the group. And I think that was something those were really the two big things that I was thinking about while watching this. And also, finally, thankfully, we were seeing some physicality here, because I know a lot of people were getting impatient with that.
Jay Miller says, weird that Ivy isn't with the Creeds and Gable. I think that we'll see her along there sooner than later, because they need somebody to kind of go against Nikki, I would believe. Ivy was on Main Event, though. Fightful Select reported that she was planned for that show. CC Bonbon says, SRS, what's your favorite Instinct Culture moment? Probably when Denise got 1 million views on her. Was it Lashley, or was it?
Oh my gosh. Lashley and Bobby. Bobby Lashley and Lana. That was my first 1 million viewed video.
Because I remember how excited you were about that. And
I was so excited about that.
I got my first one last year, I think, with the one of the Cody Rhodes interviews we did in Atlanta. Man, that one went bananas. And yeah, that's probably my favorite.
I think everybody's first 1 million viewed video is like a, oh my, yeah, God, like it just hits you like, oh my God, this happened.
I was really worried when we did that trip. Like, Denise and I got invited to that on pretty short notice, and like short notice flights like that are not cheap, and nothing from Lexington is cheap. And we went and did that, and it's like, okay, well, how will that all work out? And man, that ended up being one of the most successful videos and interviews we did ever, was with the Cody thing. I also, gosh, I had one from Money in the Bank last year that I just filmed, Jey Uso pinning Roman, that got like 900,000. And then I got a 2 million view video that was an event footage, and it was just AJ Styles saying to Scarlett, "I'm married, bitch."
Oh yeah, that was right. That was the one. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Sorry, Sean. I lost track of mine already. You know, I lost track. I have so many. Wow. I don't even know anymore. After the first one, I was like, I don't know.
Crazy 101 says, is Ricochet signed with AEW? I would say so, but I can't confirm that yet. I believe he is, but we'll see. Thoughts on Ohio x AEW? I assume you mean the tax break they're getting. Good. I think that states like Ohio should probably incentivize big shows to come there to increase tourism, to get to build tourism in the area, to like cultivate an audience, so to speak. I don't blame Cleveland at all, because let's be real, ain't nobody going to Cleveland for anything else.
They have to lower the prices, Sean. They
it's insane. Denise.
Those are not Cleveland prices.
15 years ago, there was a video that I posted on my Twitter called Hastily Made Tourism Video. Now, it was after the economic collapse and all that, but they joked, buy a house for the price of a VCR. The amount that I spent on a hotel for 3 nights is like mortgage levels. It's insane.
It is insane.
Nobody I know is staying there by themselves. Everybody is going three deep. It's insane there.
Three deep?
Three deep.
I don't know what kind of people you know, Sean.
Listen, everybody I know is staying like, listen, and nothing wrong with that, but I'm like, man, these prices are insane. No,
they're bad. They're bad. And
I saw people say, oh, well, Vegas is going to be worse. No, Vegas is not going to be worse for Mania.
No, it's not.
And I'll tell you why. Because Vegas is built for things like that.
It's huge, guys. Vegas is huge. Like, there's so many fudging hotels there, and you can get anything for any price. Here's the thing about Vegas, and this is what I like about Vegas. If you're rich as hell, you get some good, nice apartment. If you're getting, you're still options, right? If you're on a lesser budget, you get what you paid for, honestly. But yeah, you can at least find something in your price range.
Super Bowl week, I booked New York hotel on like 2 days notice, and it was like $85. It was like really, really good. Man, Cleveland,
Las Vegas.
Cleveland is like 3 or 4 times as much.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, a room share with it. Well, those Airbnb room shares, which I'm glad with, because
I hope you vlog it.
Why? I've done that before.
It's going to be great.
It's a private room. I'm not sharing with somebody.
I bet. Anyway, Bronson Reed defeats Sheamus.
I'm going to vlog it. Watch. And you know what, though? I didn't pay what you paid, and I know what you paid.
Yeah, it's a lot, but the price of convenience. I'm within walking distance of everything. Let me check. Bronson Reed defeated Sheamus. They were getting meaty. And then Pete Dunne comes out. He's got some sand up his ass crack over Sheamus, Denise. What do you think Pete Dunne's deal is with Sheamus? Where do you think the beef starts here?
Where it starts? I was going to say, he'd just be having drama with everybody, bro.
He does.
I'd be seeing, he's feuding with everybody. Sheamus, Bronson, Trick, Williams, now over on NXT. This dude just has anger management issues. I think that's what we're seeing with Pete Dunne. He's got anger management problems.
I love this because the crowd got into it. The crowd loved this meaty battle, just them going back and forth. And that's good, because I often wonder, I'm like, all right, this is, I wouldn't say it's cold. They've built this a little bit.
I paid $200.
For the room?
Yeah, I paid $200 for the room. And if I sent you pictures right now, you would kind of be a little bit jealous of me. I'm not even kidding you. It's very nice.
I'm going to be jealous of you?
Yeah, because I know how much you spent. I spent $200, okay? Because I know how to shop for a bargain. Whoa.
For the whole trip?
For the whole trip, not per night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That, I thought you meant per night.
$200. Biatch. Awesome. I'm so proud of myself. And watch, I'm going to send you pictures.
I will say this. The place that I'm staying right now, I didn't pay this amount, but yikes. It's like $500 a night right now. It's insane. And any other day, if you came a week later, it'd be like $125 maybe.
That's some BS, man. Like, that's supposed to be off. They want tourists, and then we go, and then they treat us like shit with their expensive ass. Come on, you can get cheaper, Denise, hotels here in Los Angeles. Please,
you are staying in a
offer.
You are staying in a crack house.
I'm going to send you pictures, Sean.
Denise is going to stay in that building where those women were held captive for like 8 years.
I'm going to be like Kimmy Schmidt, Unbreakable. They're alive.
That's what it's based off of. That's what the intro is based off of. It's based off of a man that discovered women locked up in Cleveland.
Oh, it's based in Cleveland?
No. Oh. The intro is based off of that news story that happened. I'll send
And
it
the
to
news
you.
Story happened in Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Where else?
well, can you at least come out in my Netflix documentary instead of said, hey, you know, when Denise told me she spent $200, I knew that was a red flag.
I'm excited for Reed, Sheamus, Pete Dunne. I think they'll have a triple threat match. And what I like is we're going to see Pete Dunne working a sirloin beef sons of bitches match with those two. And I think he can do it. I'm excited for it.
Oh, I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can.
Illy Biscuit says, please pay your respects to Nick Chubb while you're in his building. Yeah, okay, buddy. Nick Chubb, the guy that I drafted first overall, and then he got hurt immediately.
Dude, I thought Nick Chubb was like an online troll. I was like, who are you trolling with that's named Nick Chubb?
Miz announces the host of SummerSlam. I think that's a good spot for him. Probably something that means a lot to him as well. I don't mind that whatsoever. Judgment Day drama. Carlito ends up booking the wrong match for Dominic against Sami Zayn. Well, that results in him also having to book or wrestle a match against Jey Uso. Jey Uso defeats him. Carlito's out there wrestling in sweatpants. I think the only part of this match that stood out to me was when Carlito goes to get the apple and the ref's like, no, 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 no. And Michael Cole goes, I don't think it's illegal to eat during a match. He's like, I think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's illegal either. But hey, I mean, the match happened. If that was the only memorable thing, then it justifies my opinion here in that we did not need to see this.
No. I mean, any thoughts on the Judgment Day drama that we saw here?
I'm trying to decide, what do you think is going to happen here? Because I'm feeling a little bit like, I know what's going on I mixed Rhea and Liv, and I was going to say Riv. All right. Well, with the Riv storyline between Rhea and Liv, all of that, that's fine, right? I know where all of that's going. At least I can sort of feel confident in my prediction with that. Great. But what's happening with the rest of Judgment Day? Is JD McDonagh and Carlito really going to be the only non-troublesome members? Because I know it kind of feels like Finn and Damian Priest are at odds. Damian Priest feels like he has one leg out of the Judgment Day. But when Rhea Ripley came back, it feels like he kind of came back in here. I don't know what's going on with the Judgment Day anymore. I almost feel like, to me, I only care about Rhea and Liv and Dom and that whole story. And then everything else is just there. And I see the story with Damian Priest and Gunther as its own thing, where like, I don't see, even though Judgment Day has gotten involved, sure, I don't really see them as part of that story. It's just Gunther and Damian Priest to me.
So apparently Liv had trashed the Judgment Day lair. Yes, boy, says Denise, have you ever had an ex moment like Liv burning all her past relationship items with Dirty Dom? If so, what happened? Actually, this can go in with the Liv Morgan vignette thing that we're about to talk about, which I guess we're going to now. Liv Morgan is shown burning all of Dom's items. Rhea had cut a promo saying, you thought you could take what was mine, but you're not gonna. There wasn't like a face-to-face. It was sort of keeping them separated because this is a hot match for SummerSlam, and you do kind of want to keep them separated. Rafael Garcia said, have a dangerous headcanon that the Rhea Liv story is less like Eddie and China and more like the reverse Lana, Liv, and Bobby. Well, it's already infinitely better than Lana, Liv, and Bobby, but I don't think it's going to touch Eddie and China. And there wasn't necessarily that love triangle element of Eddie and China. China just wanted to be treated well, and Eddie was kind of messing up. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be parallels.
I'm trying to remember the Bobby, Lana, Liv story, because weren't they portraying Liv to be interested in Lana?
Yes. And what I would encourage you to do is to not try to remember that, because it sucked.
But then Bobby I'm just trying to remember everything that happened in that, because there was a lot and it got confusing, because Bobby and Lana were a couple, but then Liv apparently was involved with Lana and someone got married. Who got married again? Oh, it was a wedding.
I think it was Lana and Bobby were trying to get married, weren't they?
Yeah, and then doesn't like Rusev come?
And
on
then
something?
I don't give a shit.
I need to go back.
It was so
bad.
It was so bad. Wild.
But I'm trying to remember who was with who and all of that.
It was bad. It was really, really bad.
It was so bad. It was great.
What would you think of the live burning? Yeah. No, all that
I love
shit.
That. Are you kidding me? Picture to burn. Let's go. Let's roll it up. Let's start bumping some Taylor Swift here.
Did you ever have a moment like that? Somebody had asked that.
Yes, actually that was my go-to thing. Every time anything of a relationship ended, I'm the person that throws everything away that ever has to do with that person. And I played myself because I did that and I ended up getting back together with the person. And then I had gotten rid of all the stuff that really meant a lot to me because I had thrown it away when I was angry. So don't do that.
Here's a good story. I don't think they'll be upset that I shared it. So, unfortunately, one of my best friends lost his father this past week. Wonderful man. We went to the visitation today before Raw, and my friend's ex-girlfriend was there, and she's fine. They get along. There's a child that's involved in both of their lives, and she said that she was looking through the pictures on the board of the guy, and she realized she had been cut out of one of the pictures from like 15 years before. And she realized that at that moment, and her daughter was even like, "This picture looks familiar." And she's like, "Yeah, we got it at home. I was cut out of it."
Oh my God. And what did he say? Did he
say nothing? Everybody had a laugh over it. Like we are well past the point of anybody being bothered by that, but it was a funny moment. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But guys, if you don't mind, by the way, I do have a pinned tweet of my friend who lost his father, a GoFundMe for funeral costs for his mother, who, you know, this was very, very unexpected. Lost him at 59 years old, far earlier than anybody would like to. So if you can donate, please consider donating over there. It would mean an awful lot. Victor hits us with the bestie pose. I had dinner with the besties, Emily and Allie C.
So I'm not going to lie. I thought that meant something else. I'm sorry. This.
Talking about touching. It probably does for him. It probably means touching tips, like MXM. That's what it is. Have you seen it?
I'm not joining this conversation.
There you go. Anyway. Anyway. D Skills H-Town says, WWE's made me so sick of Judgment Day. Break them up. Just do something interesting. Doing the exact same thing every week is boring as hell. Denise, speaking of Judgment Day, did you watch Complex Sneaker Shopping featuring Cody Rhodes today?
No, it popped up on my YouTube feed, but I didn't get a chance to watch it. I've been wanting to watch the Hot Wings one with Jade and Bianca, though. That's been on my to-do list.
I just want you to know that this is brought up. JD McDonough's big head is brought up during that. So we get Zayn defeating Dominic via DQ. Jey Uso makes the save. And then Bron Breakker tried to lay out Sammy. But Zayn caught him with a boot before Bron Breakker retreated. I think Bron Breakker's winning this match. I think he's going to win at SummerSlam. And I hope we go into a triple threat with he, Ilya, and Zayn. But it seems like his time. I do like that it's weaving in and out of Judgment Day a little bit, though. Because whenever Judgment Day does break up, we're going to see some sort of fracture. I feel like Dominic goes off with Liv. Damian is out on his own. Rhea is on her own. And then what is it? Is it Finn, JD, and Carlito? Like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah. Do I think Lucha Brothers and Daniel Garcia stay with AEW? I think that Daniel Garcia is going to exhaust his options and look at it. And probably get the best deal. I'm going to follow up on that. Now, to clarify that story, there was one person in AEW that felt like he was staying and thought that he had resigned, but I've not confirmed that. And that was mentioned in the story. Lucha Brothers, Fightful Select, best $5 in the business, reported today that Rey Fenix's deal is up this year. I'm going to have some more on that on Fightful Select, hopefully this week. I think they do, but I would imagine WWE is going to be interested in getting Rey Fenix and Penta. They should
better. Be interested.
They should be. Damian Priest vignette and a Gunther promo. Balor backstage says that he will face Gunther alone, and it's rubbing off on Finn Balor, at least on the surface. He's like, "You're doing it alone. I'm doing it alone as well." And KE775 says, "Do they implode on Saturday? If not, I think maybe the Monday following." But I got to say, this was one of the first matches of Gunther's that I haven't been like, oh, hell yeah.
What, him and Finn?
Yeah, it was like, it was all right in the ring, but man, that crowd.
I liked this match.
Like, I Finn Balor took some punishment, but I think what bummed me out was this crowd didn't give a shit about it. And I'm like, what's up with these guys? Like, I liked the work that we saw in the ring, but that crowd was just like.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. I couldn't really hear the crowd too well because my volumes was kind of low on that. But I was just really paying attention to the actual like matchup. And man, I feel like that was Finn's best singles match like in a while. Like, I don't remember at least on Raw for sure, because I feel like we've been seeing so many tag team matches with Finn to the point where like they all pretty much blurred. Like, I cannot distinguish one from the other anymore. Like, if you tell me, Denise, what happened in that one Finn tag team, I don't know. I have no idea what happened in that match. Like, to me, they're all the same match that happened in different time periods. And so like this to me was like the first match where I'm like, yeah, this actually feels different. This feels good. And Finn just basically turning from a cheese Cheeto to a hot Cheeto with that chest.
Oh my
God, that was insane. And I love that they really painted like, they went in with the close-ups to really paint the picture of like, dude, look at him. He is red to the max. And I also liked the finish. Believe it or not, I was a fan of it because I felt like he had completely just like exhausted Finn Balor to the max. So when he got him, to essentially be put to sleep, I felt like it made sense to the match that we were seeing because of the beating, the exhaustion that we had already seen Finn Balor take. And so I liked this a whole lot. And even when he did that promo from the steps, I loved the setting of that. But I also enjoyed the fact that Gunther brought up the fact that Finn Balor was supposed to be all of these great things, right? All of these big things were supposed to happen to Finn Balor, but he blames it on the Judgment Day, saying he hasn't lived up to his full potential. And I thought that was really great. And I hope they run this back considering that he didn't actually pin him. So I almost want to see them run back Finn Balor and Gunther here. So I did enjoy this main event.
Yeah, I liked it in the ring. I was just like, man, what's up with the crowd, man? Like, what's going on here? What's preventing them from what's preventing them from doing this? Like, it's, or what's preventing them from giving a hoot? We had Priest and Gunther. They battled it out after the match. What was this doing for you? Does this get you excited? Are you pumped for it?
Yeah, feeling? So I really feel like this went from a feud where I just thought, oh, yay, Gunther's going to win. Let's get to it. Let's just have Gunther win, blah, blah, blah. Move on to the next thing, right? That's where I was at. That's the lane I was in. Recently, in the last 3 weeks, it all started with that promo. That was a little questionable, but whatever. And then the following week when we had the brawl, and now this week, I feel like in this short amount of time, this has probably been one of the stories that has been helped out tremendously in the last couple of weeks of storytelling. I really feel like it went from, again, we're all just expecting Gunther to win and let's just disregard Damian Priest, to all of a sudden, hey, there's people that are like, you know what? Maybe we should keep the belt on Damian Priest. I'm still waiting for this. I think this is Gunther's moment. I think it's going to happen. But what they did was they barely built up the heat for this match, where all of a sudden it's more than just two guys that happen to be in this match together. It's more than Gunther just qualifying to earn the spot. Now it's become personal. And I feel that the direction that they've gone with it has made it far more interesting, to where all of a sudden I care about the story between Damian Priest and Gunther.
Well, I care about saving you guys some money with Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You've got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Check it out, guys. Mr. Acosta says, hope they don't get a mania now. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't Minneapolis, so to speak. It was nearby.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about Cleveland. I was like, oof, I don't want with those prices. No, thanks.
Karrion Kross defeated Xavier Woods. Karrion Kross is saying, you know, Kofi came back and now he's already hurt, or so he says. Because really, I think he's just not happy you're getting the spotlight. What are you making of this? Do you think there is any end game? KE775 says, is there any end game to it? It's starting to get redundant. I do need to see something freshened up here. I need to see what?
I don't think I understand this story. Because Kross was all of a sudden wanting Xavier Woods to join the final testament.
He's been wanting him to the whole time. He's saying that Kofi is holding him down at this point.
All right, never mind. I guess I do get the story. My bad. Yeah. All right, well, I just took a second.
He's always been after Xavier. He sees something in Xavier, or so he claims. And he thinks that Kofi is holding him down. So I think that they need to get to the point here. And Michael says, what changes would you make to the final testament besides more wins? Feels like a lot of wasted talent. P.S. Denise, please drop at least one F-bomb. Denise?
I'm allowed?
Yeah, just say it.
Oh, fuck.
There you go. Thank you, Michael. What changes would I make? Listen, I like Paul Ellering just fine. I don't think that they need the entire... When I say Legion of Doom, I don't mean WWF Legion of Doom. I mean like cartoon Legion of Doom. You don't need like the Avengers of bad guys all out there. I think it kind of minimizes it. It makes it more Dungeon of Doom than it makes it Final Testament. But I think that each one of these people are more... I don't think any of these characters are Dungeon of Doom bad. I like Karrion Kross. I like him in the ring. I like his mic work. It's a matter of finding him something to do that people will be invested in. AOP can be really great. We have seen them be physically imposing, but if they're not portrayed that way, then it doesn't really matter. So I think that there has to be changes to the booking more than anything.
Right. So they've had AOP in like squash matches, and I feel like that's not really going to do much for them. And I feel bad because now that I think about it, I'm like, man, am I just tuning out during these Final Testament promos? And I feel like the reason I've been tuning out was because they're all the same. I'm like, yeah. There's really nothing to like say, oh, this is really good. I feel like this is just too much, I don't know, hocus pocus. And so it's not really my cup of tea. And I feel bad because I want to give this a chance, but they lost me very early on. And that's the problem. Once you lose someone, that's it. They're gone. It's going to take a while to get them back.
So Vin says, sorry if this has been asked. Any reason Jesse the Body Ventura didn't appear on camera? I'm sure he was just there visiting, but WWE is also very smart about this now. If somebody's there visiting, they're going to get a digital clip out of it, see what the reaction is, and see if the audience has any desire to see them in any capacity. What I want to see is Karrion Kross talking to Jesse the Body Ventura in his Jesse the Body Ventura impersonation that he does, which sounds exactly the same.
Really?
Yes. Oh, wow. He did it on Chris Van Vliet's show. It was perfect. Zelina Vega interview. I mean, she's got a knack. Like I don't see her miss on promos. Like she always delivers on these promos. I don't think the booking always reflects the things that she says, like her being a threat or being at the front of the line. But whenever she's given some promo material to use, I think she always delivers it really well. There are no hiccups. There are no stutters. It's almost so natural for her that it's too natural. Like it's almost too polished, but like I've seen her talk for years and years and years, and it's always been this way. Like it's just talking comes, it's second nature to her. She gets attacked by Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, and then they defeated Lyra Valkyria, Katana Chance, and Kayden Carter. Before we get into damage control, what did you think of Deville, Baszler, and Stark attacking Zelina and then beating the other three?
They need a team name because I'm exhausted having to say their entire names. And even now, watching you have to run through all their names, I'm like, yep, we need them to have a team name because that's a lot of work. Zoe, Shayna, I forget. I'm Zoe, Shayna, Sonya. It's a lot.
I almost went with Mishin's name for them, the stud line.
Yeah, yeah.
But
seen that.
Yes. Jay Miller says, is it far off, but do we get a women's War Games tease? I cannot imagine that they would use War Games on that. I think they would have to heat them up a lot.
On who? Sonya and her team?
They got to heat that team up. And they're working on it. I think they
could get there. Maybe not this year, but maybe next.
I love Zoe using her finish to win because her finish looks incredible. So what you've had, and I think it's a very smart, methodical way of building them up. Sonya has been getting the wins. Shayna got a win at Bloodsport this past week, and the eyes were on that. Then this week, what they had was Zoe Stark winning clean in the middle of the ring with her finish, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I think they could get there in like a year, like War Game status, if they keep like pushing them and make them really strong and dominant. But I just don't know. I mean, obviously, damage control is also really great too. But I don't know. It's going to involve a lot of effort, I think, for sure.
KE775 says Lyra needs to fly to Los Angeles or Iowa and get Becky back to Raw. She's been sinking these last 2 months with her gone. She has. And I hope that becomes the story, is that now that Becky's gone, you have failed. Shout out to Becky. Her book releases in paperback. It's a fantastic book, by the way. But I hope they play into that. And they're like, Lyra, you aren't doing shit without Becky here.
But I don't think we're supposed to know that. Because they go out and they're super happy, peppy party girls, all three of them. So I don't think we're supposed to know that she is not where she was at before.
But I really like what they did with Damian Priest, where they took the online complaints and then like Gunther and Seth Rollins said it. They're like, you're a flop. You can't carry the company. All these things that people were saying without giving Damian Priest an opportunity. But people are saying disagree. Lyra getting constant TV time is in a feud. No, but she's not winning the matches.
She's not having the same focus that she did when she was in the tournament. She's not having the same focus that she did during that time because she was, you know, she made it all the way to the finals. She was in the finals against Nia. And then she also had all of those backstage moments with Becky Lynch. All of that stuff went really well for her. But now she's just with a tag team. And so it's not really about her. But I do think the pro here is that she is on TV. At least she hasn't been forgotten about. And that could be very terrifying. So as long as she's on TV and she hasn't been forgotten about, that's a good thing. And same thing for Kayden and Katana. How many times were the own tag team champions aren't on TV? At this point, like, I almost feel like let's just be happy she is on TV. But yes, I know. It's different.
Damage control comes out, brawls with Sonya, Shayna, and Zoe.
See, I told you, it's a lot of work.
And then backstage, damage control talks, and then Dakota calls out Sonya for next week. Matt James says, do you think Big E is close to returning? I feel as if Big E has been very, very transparent all the way through. He isn't necessarily rushing back. People that I had talked to like a year and a half ago referred to him as retired. And even if he came back tomorrow, I still think that terminology would have been accurate at that point. I just don't think he's going to rush back. This is his livelihood that's you know, at stake. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. T-Sipper says, you know, kind of agree when it comes to Final Testament. I don't necessarily need it to end, but I need something more. Yes, in theory, I love Karrion Kross, AOP, Scarlett, even Paul Ellering. I really respect that AOP were like, if you want us back, you got to bring Paul back because he was instrumental in our careers. I think that's very commendable. But I need, for the ceiling that they have, I need something that reflects that. I know that Karrion Kross wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but it's very clear, especially when he grew his hair and people realized, oh no, he had just been shaving his head because he was really, really into his character. I think that is an example of how far he's willing to go to make something work.
Have you ever made a sandwich at home, Sean, and then had a sandwich in the restaurant with all the exact same ingredients, but the sandwich at home didn't hit the way that it hit at the restaurant?
Yeah.
That's what the Final Testament is. It's the sandwich with all of the ingredients, but you made it at home. Hasn't been made in the restaurant. Just taste different.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Right? I think in food.
Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo.
I'm in some weirdo's spare room this week.
Watch, I'm going to send you the picture, Sean. You're going to be so jealous when you're like, wow.
Well, I bet I am.
Spent $200 on that. Watch me, okay? I'm going to have the best time. Anyways, YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. Go subscribe and watch my video so I don't have to stay with some man.
We got a couple more.
That's really bad.
Looks like they're setting up for Studline damage control. Add Zelina and Mishin for war games, maybe. Zelina, maybe. I don't know that they're planning on adding Mishin. And listen, also, yes, Beyond the Bell is back tomorrow. Please tune in tomorrow morning. But with Mishin, if she is in war games, that woman is going to do something psychotic. Like, listen, I can't even troll Mia anymore. It's fun picking on her and stuff, but.
You should wrestle her at Bloodsport.
I'm not wrestling her. I don't want to make a habit out of that.
Why? Because they'd kick your ass?
Yeah, they'd kick my ass. That's
all
exactly
the women
what
just be kicking your ass, Sean.
Oh, my gosh. Ah. Anyway, I think Mishin would do something batshit crazy during that. And that worries me because I've seen what she does in regular matches. Vin says, thoughts on a 3-hour SummerSlam pregame show. Is Nick trying to turn this into the Super Bowl of extended pregame shows? I'll tell you where my ass will be 3 hours before SummerSlam. Not at SummerSlam. That's for damn sure. I don't need a 3-hour thing, but you know what? To me, if you establish, well, there's not going to be any wrestling matches on these first few hours, I don't have a problem with it at all. Listen, do a damn 12-hour one. They did WrestleMania all day at one point. Like, they did that, like, that, I think it was before WrestleMania 2000 or something. Like, I don't really care. I'm not watching that for any, like, breaking news or anything. If you just want to, like, as a tailgate type of thing, sure, why not? Why not do it? I watch NFL stuff all Sunday morning. So why not? It doesn't bother me whatsoever. Fid McAwesome says, is there anything to the AEW Australia shirt? Are they looking to come here? Every other country shirt is a nation they've been to or have a partnership with. I believe they've been looking into it, but I can't say for sure that it's happening. I mean, I know they got some big things in motion. I believe the Dallas thing is something they're trying to get ink on the paper regarding, and I believe they would do something in Australia. I think that's one that they would like to hit up. Motor City Machine Guns to WWE? I believe so, but I haven't confirmed it as of yet. And Vin says WrestleMania 2000 was all day. Well, by God, guys, leave a thumbs up. Please check out our great shows. Not just every night. Every night we have a review. Every morning we've got shows now too. In the Weeds, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Beyond the Bell on Tuesdays. And then the Spotlight on Thursdays. And then, by the way, Grapsody at noon every Saturday. But this Saturday, Phil and Reg are bringing you the official Fightful Post show. I'm going to try my best to call in after that show. It's a good time. Leave us a thumbs up on this video. Comment on the video. It helps us out a lot. Share it. All that good stuff. Appreciate you guys. Hope to see many of you in Cleveland. We're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.